Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Yes, we can take our seats right now. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day of exaltation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day that they call Father's Day. Bless our hearts, talk to us, talk through us, and let your name be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just yesterday, something sparked me, and I felt just the Father's Day thing. And the Lord said, well, why don't you take today and really talk about relating to our Heavenly Father? How do we relate to a Father? And then I said, well, I just called Pastor Yata and said, well, if you have not scheduled something tomorrow, can I do this? He said, go ahead. So I'm going to talk to all of us on our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. The reason why is a little bit important. You know, we don't normally do this in this church. I've never been doing that. Christmas, I never preach Christmas. I'm on radio in Africa, in Asia. Christmas, no big deal. I don't preach Christmas. Easter, I don't preach Christmas. Whatever it is, we never preach on those holidays. But this is kind of different when you say, talk about Father's Day when it is our Father's Day. I only Father's Day. Well, this makes some sense. The more reason because when you grow up to be about my age, maybe something like that will begin to, you begin to reflect back on life. It may not make sense to you now when you are young. Many of us didn't make sense to us when we were young. But after you come to be adults and seniors, sometimes you begin to reflect back on life. And that is when you begin to appreciate these little things that you and your father did or didn't do. There was a video on TBN yesterday that sparked this. I was watching Trinity Broadcasting Network and they suddenly showed a video of a Father's Day and so on. And I started reflecting on that. And then the Lord reflected to me some of the things that you also can think back and say, do you have any good relationship with your father, whether he's believer or non-believer? Can you remember anything? Can you remember anything at all when you were growing up that you can say is like a landmark in your life? Because those small things, they are landmarks. You may never appreciate it until you are old and they are gone. And that is what I'm going to, so I want to study like a testimony. I'll give two of my testimonies of what I can remember of how my father was a father to me. Even though he was not a believer, even though I was not a believer, even though I came from what you people call polygamous family, that is, he has so many wives. And so because of that, everybody get attached to your mom. The father is like not in your life, so to speak, even though he was there. That's what I want to point out. Even though he was there, even though he did something, but to the children, your mom is it. You are clinging to your mom, and they are clinging to their mom, they are clinging to their mom. Remember the story of, in the Bible, I will come back to the stories in the Bible. I will point out also some fathers in the Bible, what they did, that only fathers do these things. Only fathers do these things. When they did it, maybe just one, and may look like it's not everyday thing, but those are the landmarks that when you grow older, you remember that indeed they were there for you. Unless, of course, they were not there. Some of people will think, in America, they will say your fathers were not there because they have been divorced or they were dead or so on. But the little time you have with them, when you look back, you might be able to recollect that, yes, he did something. So I'm going to give two of my testimonies, and then I will give two of the testimonies I can say, well, when I believe I did something, that I will say I try to be a father too to my children. That they may not remember it now. They may not even think it's anything. But to you, it was a landmark in my life when I did that, when I went out of my way. They may not realize it. And you may be fathers here too. You have done something that to you, you went out of your way to do that, and they didn't appreciate it because it's not something you do every day. It's not something that happens every day, just once in a while. But you did something for them, for this one or for that one. And that also will be a testimony. They will remember many years later. You may be gone by then, but they will remember, and they will be giving honor to you like I'm going to do today for my father. So this will be testimony. Then I will come after I've given two of my father's testimony, two of my testimony I think is fatherly. Then I will come back to the scriptures and point to some fathers in the Bible. What they did, that only fathers do those things. Amen. Then I will finally finish it with the Heavenly Father. Which, if you don't have a good relationship with your earthly father, you most likely will not appreciate what the Heavenly Father is doing or has done. Or if you don't appreciate what your earthly father has done or is doing, you most likely will not appreciate or understand what Heavenly Father has done or is doing. And that is why this may be able to make you reflect back and then appreciate what God has done for you and what He is doing for you. In fact, what He has done for the whole world as humanity, as a father. So I will end up with that, then I will invite every one of us. You can rekindle your relationship with Father, Heavenly Father, or with your earthly father, if you have them alive, to just reflect on what you have done. But let's go. Let me give my testimony. Because after I started reflecting back, I said, oh yeah, that you did that, oh yeah, that one, oh yeah, that one. I thought I only had one or two, but you had many. I had many. But I would point to one when I was an unbeliever. Like I said, he was not a Christian. He was a Muslim. And I was also not a Christian. I was going to Christian church or Christian school. So this came when I was in high school. My junior year in high school, 1968. There was a riot in the school because of soccer, football. The principal would not let the students go and play football. He thought they are going to the state championship, and he said, no, you guys didn't do so. And it was a misunderstanding, and we all gone mad and started breaking glasses. I was involved. I was part of it. I was an unbeliever, like I told you. I was not a Christian. I was just a member of the Catholic Church. I was in the Catholic school. And we were throwing stones at the school, broke glasses. In fact, some of my friends said, you better break yours because we are all going to pay for it. And I remember I didn't confess it then that I participated because I was so gentle that they thought he would never be one of them. But I'm confessing it, I threw mine too because I knew we were going to all pay for it. My best friend said, you better throw yours because you are all going to pay for it. Okay, let's see, but what my father did on during that episode, what I want to point out. Like I said, I was in a school dormitory, what you call boarding school. High school in Nigeria in those days, boarding schools. So I was many miles away from home. And you remember in those days there was no telephone, no cell phone, no even newspaper. My parents don't read newspapers. I can't remember how they heard that there was a riot. It's like from here to Tucson. It's not that far, but to them that's how far it was. The towns, the two towns. And the police were called because we were in a high school in a village, so the police had to come from the city, from the nearest city, and they round up all the students, and I was one of them. Took us to the police station, I was one of them. We didn't run because I had nowhere to run to, really. We had no money if we want to run because you have to get a taxi to get away from the school. So we were all taken to the police station and rounded up, and just think of about 150 students. We are more than that in the school, but some of the others have been wiser. They took their bags and left after the first night of breaking glasses. The following morning, we slept and woke up, and then the police came and called everybody into the door. Oh, what happened? What happened? Nobody answered. Well, if nobody will talk, all of you march into the big police truck, and we all went. And then they took two trucks of students. High school students to the police. So then we slept in the police overnight again, booking people in. They don't know, they're going to release you to your parents. My parents were miles away, I don't know how they're going to know about this. Whether there was a news or no news, I didn't know. I couldn't tell today how they heard that there was a riot in the school many miles away. And the second day they let us go. I went and stayed with my. I had a friend that I knew. He was in that former high school in that big city, Ijebu, the grammar school. So I went and stayed with him overnight again, third day. And then we were told to come back in the morning to the police station. So, borrowing money or something, we came back to the police station. And we were just loitering around. And this police station is not on the major road. So if anybody is going from this city to that city, there's no way taxi will take you to the police station. So as we were loitering around, I saw a taxi that coming from the police headquarters and making a left. And I said, that's my dad in the taxi. Before I could wave, they've gone. So I told my friend, that's my dad in the taxi. Then I had to get somebody to borrow me some money, and I took a taxi. I knew he must be going to my school, which was another town or village, far away from the big city where we were all being booked by the police. He came out looking for me. He came out looking for me. That is what a father does. I remember that because I had to take a taxi around to the school and met a gun to the school. The school was closed. He went to the police. All the students have been dismissed. They're coming back. So he didn't know where to go. When I saw him, that taxi ran out of time. But after I told him, I said, he came looking out for me. That is what a father does. Amen. That's why I say I was an unbeliever then. He was unbeliever. We say he was unbeliever. Now then I went to college and I became a minister, a gospel. I was in the gospel. So I was still in college then. And this is the second testimony. And what you gain from the first one is what he came out looking out for me. And that's what fathers do. They try to take care of their children. When I was in college, I became a believer, born again, and then evangelistic. And there was this T.L. Osborne movie that we went to evangelist T.L. Osborne came to Nigeria in 1974 or something like that. So we were now during after the evangelist T.L. Osborne gave some videos, what they call movies, full screen movie that people can use for evangelism of his crusade. So when I was on one of these vacation, one of these summer vacation, I met a Christian brother in my hometown, and we decided, oh, let's show this T.L. Osborne movies and use it for evangelism. Take it to the three high schools in that city, in my hometown now. I was now in college. So we said, yeah, let's do that. So I sponsored it. I said, well, I have some money, I will pay for the traffic. You know, we have to go to Ibadan, another big city, and get this full screen and projector and the movies from the University of Ibadan. So we brought it over, and I was more like the only person with this other brother was not from the hometown. He just came to stay for that vacation. So we tried to do this evangelism. So we took it to the first high school, do the video, and my daddy was a bit already that way, and he already knew about the gospel. I've been talking to him about the gospel at that time. So we took it from this, after this high school, went to the next high school, and we have to show it around 7 p.m. And we use this football field, and all the students in the high school gather, we show them, and then some of the brethren from University of Ibadan, they said they will come. So they came with their, one of them was a medical doctor, so he had a car. So he will come, and they led the evangelism, they will lead. But we are the hometown guys are the ones that are carrying these things from this town, from this to next place, to the next place. The last school that we were to go to was Ijebu Igbo Girls Grammar School. And it was a little bit remote. And we chartered the taxi, and I paid for the taxi, and they took this big projector and everything to that school, and then we showed it, and it was late in the night. I didn't even know how I planned to get back home, or because these are heavy equipment, how to get it back. But we were just doing it anyway because we loved the Lord and we wanted to get this evangelized. In that last one, while the movie was going on, I just saw my dad. He came down. I said, oh, Dad, you came? He said, He realized that it was too late. That night, there will be no taxis. It was getting to 11 p.m. in that small town. You don't see taxis after 9 p.m. Yeah, it was too late, and he was not going to leave me out there. That's why he came. Because he had a vehicle that he used for transportation that his son or one of the people drive to between this town and that town for public buses, and then they pack it. So he just said, well, he has to come and get me with all the equipment. So he came and he watched the video too, and he gave our life, his life to cry. We pray for him all that time and so on and so forth. But it dawned on me when he said it, because I said, wow, you came? He said, yeah, you won't leave me out here. That, when I thought about it, I said, he said he won't leave me out here. He came looking for me. That is what daddies do. Amen? So think about that. You say, well, it was just one time short. But those one time short things, those are the landmark in your life. Landmarks. That is, you don't see landmarks at every step. You just see one here, you may run miles, you see another one. But they are telling you something. Appreciate it. What your father has done in your life. Because I'm just looking back at it, I say, well, did you get to thank him for all those things, all those years? He's gone right now, a long time ago. You may not have the opportunity to thank him. You may not even remember it. But when you remember it and you say, yes, he did something, thank him, because God keeps record. And that is to your record that you are also honoring your father. He didn't say when he is alive, that's when you honor him. Even when you think about it this way and you honor him, you are still honoring him. So that is what fathers do. Now I say I try to do something similar things in my life to children, to my children. One or two will come to mind. I say, fathers come looking for me, looking out for me. That is what he did for me in those two stories. One when I was unbeliever, and one I was after a believer. And he gets some reward because he got prayed for in that video. But I will give one or two testimonies of my own example. I say, well, I try to be a father, maybe to one of my children, to my son, or to my daughter. One particular one came to mind that my son may not remember it because he may be too little, too young to remember it, but to me it was a landmark. There was a time I went with my son to one place here to play. He had to play tennis tournament on Sunday. Think of me, Brad Julius, he was a preacher. And he has to be on the tennis court there on Sunday morning. Well, there are many things like that we do. But this particular one came to mind, that just stick with me. That Sunday, it was right here in Phoenix, and he had a tournament around 8:30, and we play, and then if he wins, he has to play again. I thought, well, in those days, we still go to this cathedral. So I took him there to that tournament that day, and I was not dressed up for church. You have to remember, you don't go to tournaments and dress up for church, so I just dress up the normal casual way. Then the tournament, that first round went to almost 10:30. And he had to play another one about 11:30 or 12 noon. So I thought to myself, if I can't go back home, even if I go back home, I'm not going to church that day, because then the church starts at 11. He had another one at 11, 12. I have to leave the church. So I decided that I'm not going to need to go to church. But because I was on radio during that time at KXCG in Phoenix, Arizona, so I normally listen to the gospel radio station. So there was a ministry that always come on radio station, and I know the address is very close to that place where they are playing tournament. So I planned myself, I'll just go to that church. At least an opportunity to visit them. But I look at myself, I was not dressed as a church, as a member of church. But anyway, I just sneak into the back, sit at the back, and sneak out I told myself, I said, we're going to have to go to church. It's 11 o'clock or 10:30. They normally start 9:30. So we're going to go there when the pastor was already preaching, and at least I will be able to see that group, and then I will leave before even the pastor finishes. At least 30 minutes in church will be good enough. So I walked in there with my son. He was in tennis gear, and we walked in and just sit at the back. And the usher said, oh, you have to sit right there. We wanted to sit at the back. He put me in the middle. Okay? And it was all white church. So you can imagine that. One black man with his son, not dressed for church. I couldn't introduce myself, but I'm a minister of the gospel. Do you think so? I couldn't. How can you come? We don't have a Bible with you. and you're a preacher. So I more or less just sneak in, sat down, and listen, and praise the Lord with them, and then sneak out. But I thought about those things and said, Lord, you allow me to do those things. But he said, that is what fathers do. That's what fathers do. You may have to do that too sometime. Take time out because of some of those responsibilities. Because when my father went all the way looking for me, it was out of his way. But that was one of them. Another example came to mind one time. When I come to the stories of the Bible, you see why I'm relating these similar things. What do fathers do? How do we relate to them? How do they relate to us? Then you see what everlasting father is doing for you. How he's relating to you. You can appreciate him. Amen. The second one of my testimony is one of these times where I was also still living close to Capstone there on Shea Boulevard. And we normally pray. If any of my kids are sick or having this, we will pray instead of rushing to the hospital. So I remember this one, my daughter that is involved may not really remember it. She must be too little, but she may even remember it. But because it's it's very frequent, she may not even remember it much. One of those days, this girl was having boot with coughing. I prayed over her, tried to heal her, prayed for her, and this cough just wouldn't go away. She would be coughing in her room there, I would be hearing it in the sitting room, and she prayed and step aside and pray and cast the devil out and bind these devils of cough and so on. It won't budge. So I said, gee, I better go to Pastor Nate Frisbee and send in a prayer request. So I went, took my car, went and they live very close by from my house. So I went there and knocked on the door. It was during the day, Saturday afternoon or something. So I passed, somebody opened the door, I passed the note that, please, can you tell Evangelist Nate Frisbee to pray for my daughter having this booby cough? And they took it inside and I came back. And that seems to happen that one time, and it looked like everything went away. About three months later, the same cough came again. Almost 3 months later, the same coughing came again, the same girl. And I prayed over her and cast the devil, prayed, and the thing was still going on. This is going to lead me to the everlasting Father in a moment. So after I prayed, and I always do that, because that's our lifestyle, to pray over these children when they are sick. Because that's my weapon too. When I was sick, I would pray, rebuke the devil. And they normally will leave within a few short periods. But this time, the same thing occurred. The devil is not trying to leave. So I remember, it was around evening, around the afternoon. So let me go again to the evangelist and maybe send the note that evangelist, the Frisbee, can you pray for my daughter? It was many months later again. And as I was about to leave, the father in heaven just spoke to me that, I am here. Why do you need to keep going to evangelist in the Frisbee? I am right here. I said, okay, Lord. Then do it, Lord. I already prayed. Then Lord, do it. This is why it was a landmark to me, because this is something you do all the time that somebody's sick. But it was a landmark in my life, which I said, the little kid may not even remember it. Just a few minutes later, this guy came out and said, Daddy, the cough is gone. And I said, praise the Lord. Then I thought about it. The Lord spoke from heaven right before I left my house and said, why do you keep going to evangelist? So I'm right here. And I said, well, that is what the fathers do, but that's what the everlasting father is doing for us too. Amen. Because he cares for you. Just like I was concerned for my daughter that was coughing, and he's also concerned for you and for me. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now let me go and tell you some fathers in the Bible. Fathers in the Bible, what they did. I will start from the story of Job. Job chapter 1, open with me. Job chapter 1. The reason why you have to think deep into your own life to be able to relate to your father is these are small things to many of us, but they are not small, and they are what the fathers do. They may not be everyday thing, but they are landmarks in our lives, in the lives of people that are involved. And that is why you must recognize, to be able to recognize what the everlasting Father is doing for you and for me. In Job chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, this is an example. He said, and You all know the story of Job. Before he lost his children, this first bunch of children he had, the Bible said in verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses. These are grown-up sons. Everyone is dead. And sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. And rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and caused God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Think about that. He was looking out for his children. That's what he's really saying. He was looking out for his children. Protection, deliverance. That is what a father does. Amen? Amen. Now let me go to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29, verse 25 to 27 is what I'm going to read. Genesis chapter 29, verse 25. Now, this is the story of Laban, the father-in-law for Jacob. Now, people never talk about this thing that Laban did as anything. Actually, people always think of it as a negative thing. He did something wrong to Jacob. But you see, this is what he did. If you are not familiar with the story, Laban had two daughters that were grown up. And Jacob was his nephew. And Jacob came by and said, I will marry this your daughter that is the youngest, so pretty. For 7 years I will work for you. And Laban said, okay, I will give it to you. But 7 years was passing, 7 years was passing, and the elder sister or the first daughter of Laban, let's say she's the first daughter, couldn't find anybody to marry. She was not so pretty. Bible says she was kind of dull in her face, but Laban was concerned for her. That's what the fathers do. He was concerned for his daughter that was not going to get anybody. So he devised that means that you are reading here, that I'm not going to give the younger one before the elder, and tricked Jacob on the story that we read in verse 21, 25. 25 and 26. So what he did was to, in the night when he was to present the wife to Jacob, he must have talked it out with his household. He must have talked it out with Rachel, talked out with the parents. I'm assuming that the mother is not the same mom. You have to remember, they don't mention those, but I'm trying to make it to see. They most likely are not the same mothers for these two women. So most likely the first woman had this door one, and the other woman transmitted as this charmingly beautiful Rachel whom Jacob wanted. And he must have talked her with his family and said, we can't do this. We just have to give her this one. And they agreed. And he didn't tell Jacob, sneaking this woman in the night. And Jacob found out in the morning that it was the wrong woman they gave to him. And he wanted to blow out. And he said, we'll give you this one also if you just take care of this and we just marry both of them. And he was said to give, and he gave both of them to Jacob. But see, it was because he was looking out for his daughter. Fathers look out for their children. Amen. Just like my father came out looking for me when he had that trouble in my high school. Came out looking for me. They do that for their children too. You may say it was a bad thing he did, but he was looking out for their children. Look at it that way. Amen. Now let's look at Abraham. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 is what I'm going to read. Now this story of Abraham in verse 15 to 18. You all may know the story of Abraham, how he had no child through Sarah. And then at a point, Sarah said, well, maybe I was in trouble. Go into my maid Hagar, and he had a son called Ishmael through Hagar. Many years come, this boy was now grown up, I mean 12 years old, something like that, and God came and talked to Abraham and said, oh, I'm going to bring a child. In verse 15, like I was saying, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. And I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham, verse 17, Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Because it's getting too long, too late. He thought. And said, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old be here? Now verse 18 is where really I'm coming to. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Abraham was looking out for his son, Ishmael. Because he thought that, gee, this is, he has got this one and his heart is comforted. We already got one because he told God many chapters before that, I have no child. Because, oh, you have children. Don't worry about that. And then he got this Ishmael through what they worked out. So he was not comforted. Praise the Lord. This is going to be the heir. And God is not coming and saying, well, Sarah, that looks like it's over for Sarah. I say, well, he's going to have a child. I say, well, God, don't kill this one. That's really what he's saying. Don't kill this one that I already have. He said, oh, that Ishmael will live before thee. And God said, I've heard your prayer. Ishmael will live. He will perform all these things. But this is the plan of God. But what I'm pointing out is Abraham was looking out for his son. Amen. Because that is what fathers do. They look out for their children. So if it does not dawn on you that your father is looking out for you, or you don't have one, just have faith in God. In Genesis chapter 24, Abraham again. This time he had Isaac. Isaac grown up. And then by this time, chapter 24, Sarah has already passed on. And Isaac was left alone without a mother. But he was ripe for marriage. Isaac was already ripe for marriage. And Abraham also was going to look out for his son. Chapter 24, from verse 1 to 4, this is what Abraham did. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. The Lord has blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. So you see, Abraham was looking, why? Because he had the plan of God. He knew God wanted him to be separate from these Canaanites. And now he was going old, and Isaac is ready to marry, so he wanted to look out for his son. He said, come and go to my hometown, go and bring a wife for my son Isaac. Abraham was looking out for his son. So that is what fathers do. Amen? Amen? The Lord is telling us something here. That it may look like something simple like this, something small like this. Is that all they did? Those are landmarks in the lives of children. They are landmarks. See, the story that I said I watched on TBN yesterday, what was this man doing that the boy missed? When he was 10 years old, his daddy would come from home, daddy, and then daddy would say, oh, you want to ride a horse? And the daddy would say, come and climb on my back. And you think those are just fun things. But it remained with that boy when he grew up. Those little riding on the father's back as a horse, like a cowboy. And many years, when the boy was grown up, he was remembering that. Those are the things that are like landmarks. So the fathers, they are very important in the life of the children. Amen. Now let's come to the everlasting Father that has made all these things possible. Amen. And we're going to go to the relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ showed to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. Apostle Paul was talking about how we are comforted. So fathers do like God does. God comforts us. See, what does God do for us? One of them is what you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, where Apostle Paul is saying, we are comforted on all sides by God. And he's actually saying the Holy Spirit as our comforter, which is God in us, comforting us. When things are not going as well, we have a comforter inside us. Verse 2 and 4, Apostle Paul is saying, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God comforts us. He also said he will deliver us. Because all the things we just mentioned, all my testimony, they are God, our Father, coming to deliver, coming to look out for us, coming to protect. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, here is some of the things God does for us as delivering us from troubles. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and to 10. Apostle Paul writes, he said, for we will not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So God delivers us from many troubles, and protects us from going to many evil things, or from many satanic troubles or diseases that could have attacked human beings. God is protecting mankind. Not to talk of, just think of this planet where we are at. The scientists will tell you that the radiation that is coming from the sun alone, if the shield upon the earth is taken away, we all perhaps is destroyed with cancer. If we are too close to the sun, we'll all be fried to death. See, God has made things right so that we are being protected. Whether they accepted it or not, whether the scientific world understands or acknowledges it or not, God is doing something for mankind. Psalm 91 verse 3. You know, remember David said, forget not all his benefits. Here is one of them in Psalm 91 verse 3. He says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Whatever you can imagine that the snares of the fowler could be, or noise of pestilence, God is delivering us. How much more when you are his child and you know him, then the deliverance becomes double. Then God also protects us. Like I said, there are many evil things that could happen to mankind. Deadly diseases that God is waiting off from even those that are his own children that we are not even seeing them. I'll give you a quick example. Sometimes the Lord will allow us to sense it. Even we ministers, when we go about trying to preach to the people, if you don't realize it, that we're actually fighting spiritual warfare. It's war. Yes. Occasionally, Lord will allow the fires of the enemy to move close. I was in Nigeria in those days preaching with my megaphone, and I parked in near a house, and one devilish man wanted to test this power of God. But the Lord allowed me to sense it because he wanted me to know that these things are real. It's a warfare. The man called me and said, preacher, come over. After I preached to a woman, some bunch of women in the next to his house, come over. And he was an older man than me. I was 29 then, and he was in the 60s most likely. So where do you get this? Who sent you to preach these things? That's what he wanted to ask. And I didn't know why until I gave him the answer. I said, I'm just doing this for the gospel. And he said, okay, you can go. As I was leaving, I felt like somebody fired a bullet through my ear. And it scraped my ear. And I looked back at him, he smiled. The Lord said, he made that to come closer that I can know that we are in a warfare and the devils are firing at us. But his Lord's shield is not allowing us to even sense it. He delivers us, he protects us. Psalm 91 verse 11. If you don't know it now, know that we are going through fire. He said they walk up and down through the stones of fire. But they are not burned because God is protecting us. Shielding us. Verse 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So they are doing their job and recognize the God that you are serving that is doing all of those things for you and appreciate it. Don't take it for granted, because that's what people do. They just take it for granted. But if you realize that, then God will begin to make it more real to you as you take him real. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. To call the time short, I'm going to just give the rest of the Bible verse. You can read them yourself, so I can go to the next section. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Say, behold, the third time, this is Apostle Paul writing. Say, the third time I'm coming, I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So I'm underlining that last section where Apostle Paul says, parents lay up for the children. You may not realize what God has laid up for humanity on this planet. Think of the gold. Where did gold come from? Gold. Where does it come from? Anybody know? Gold. Where does it come from? From the ground. People go into the ground, the gold mines, and dig this thing out and polish it and make trinkets, and they thought it's just there. How did it get there in the ground? God has already laid it out for mankind that he's going to put upon this planet. Parents lay up things for their children. God already knows. Think of what humanity has come with. All about computer, all those computer chips. They are made of silicon and things like that. Where does silicon come from? Human beings didn't go to Mars to go bring silicon. It's already here on the ground. And he has to give us wisdom, knowledge, how to get it and what to do with it. God already laid up these things for his children. So these things, humanity take it for granted. But if you begin to realize and put 2 + 2 together, you will see that God has provided for us on this planet. Not just children of God, I'm talking of the whole world, the humanity. He put the gold there because he knows, and that is why in the kingdom that he's bringing, he said the city is made of gold that he is building, that's come down one day on this planet. So which means God appreciates that gold is very important, very useful. That's why he already put it on this planet, in the ground, for us to get to it one day. The same with silicon, the same with all these materials that human beings are discovering. But God has laid it up for us. So think about that. Don't dismiss, don't take all those things for granted. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Apostle Paul was saying the same thing, some things earlier also. God will provide for our need. He is already providing for us, for you and me as children of God. Now John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. The Lord now is talking about another heavenly kingdom that he's making for us. The Lord laying up treasure for his children, believers. So let's take note of those things, what God is doing for us, and you now will be able to relate to him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. He talks about these people, these men of faith, they look for a city, and God has already prepared a city for them. God laying up treasure for his people. God is looking out for his own people. He has a plan for mankind, and he's making us to see these things. So see him as our heavenly Father that has made all these things for us. Whether you are enjoying it or not, he's already there. Now, how should we relate to him? I'm going to come now to the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the Son of the Father, and he's also the everlasting Father. Yeah. Amen. Now, he came to show us how we should relate the relationship between a father and a son. And let me point to some of the things the Lord Jesus Christ said that we should meditate upon. Here in Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 19. And we can also take a lesson with parents, with fathers, we are talking to fathers today, how to relate to our children from this story of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, in verse 19. This Lord Jesus Christ talking to the Jews. Then answered Jesus and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do not now. we always use son, it also includes daughters. You may say daughters relate to their moms. Yeah, they have some relationship to their fathers too. The son can do nothing of himself, but what is here the father do? For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the son likewise. For the father loveth the son and shows him all things that himself doeth. Now, that maybe if we have read that a little earlier and thought about this in relation between father and son, it might make some sense how we deal with our children. Show him things that you do. I will never forget, there was when I was growing up, there was an old man, a grandpa that always would visit my daddy. And we all call him Baba Alayo because he was a farmer and he planted this thing called ewedu in Nigeria, those vegetables. And when he would come, my daddy professionally was a tailor. He was a professional tailor. But we were going to school, so you know the difference, there's a disparity right there. But that man would come, an old man with walking stick, and he was challenging my daddy that teach your children how to sew. Teach your children how to sew clothes. They will make use of it in the future. And because of that, not that he actually sat me down and told me how to sew, because I was like an apprentice keeping the store, I was watching how he was sewing clothes. So that there was no clothes I couldn't sew up to now, even shirts. But that man was saying it then, and this is what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, the father showed the son what he doeth. You may say, well, I go to office, so he does not know. But it's not just the office thing, even what how to do things. Even the walk around the house, show your son how to do it. I remember telling, one time I said, my son, I said, no, you go and fix that toilet, that sink now. I'll show you how to do it, now try to fix it. If you have problem, call me. That was when he was already grown up. But I have to show him first how to fix it. I was not a plumber, but we learn all these things by practice and experience. And now when they are growing up, they better show him, because he's going to own a house one day, and he's going to save some money by knowing how to do those things himself. So the Lord Jesus was saying, the son, the father loved the son, he showed him what he doeth. So we can learn, take a lesson from that. You relate to your father the same way, but much more, fathers relate to your children in that same way. Verse 19. Verse 20 is where he said it's the father that is showing it to the son. And he went further and said he's going to show him more, even the raising of the dead. He said if the father has life in himself, he has given to the son to have life in himself. And now remember this, we sons of God, or sons of God to be, this is a promise for us. The Lord is going to give us this anointing that we will be able to raise the dead easily. He said that as the Father has life in himself and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. That is the potential, the relationship between the Lord and the Father, between us and the Father that he's bringing us onto. If you have not understood that, know it now. When we become sons of God, that life, what is this life? He said the life is in him to quicken him we will. That life was what was in Christ when he was going about, they were flocking to touch him. They said virtue was coming out of him. They were flocking to touch him. They lined up to touch him. That was the life, because something was coming out of his system that was healing them. That is what God is going to show in the end time when he come and possess fully in come upon the sons of God. As the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son to have life in himself. And he showed him what things he doeth. And this is the relationship we have to have with the Father, our Father in heaven, which is calling us unto. So recognize it. John chapter 17, as I wrap it up. Now this is the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 24 and 25. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and this have known that thou hast sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, Oh Father. So we have to be able to address our Father in heaven as Father. Now you see, it's one thing to just say Father, it's another thing to be a son of that Father. It's one thing to say Father, it's another thing to be a son of that Father. Why did I say that? Well, let's look at it, what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the Jews about. John chapter 8. From John chapter 8 verse 29, I will read. This is the Lord Jesus saying, talking to the Jews. He said, He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I say, it's one thing to say my Father, it's another thing to be a son unto him. Do always that which please him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, it's not over yet, because they continue in that discourse, in that discussion. And the Lord told the Jews, he said, verse 33, they answered him and said, well, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never born in bondage. And Jesus Christ said something to them, which I'm going to go to the verse, that's verse 37, John chapter 8, verse 37. The Lord said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. He's trying to dissociate them from Abraham. They say, oh, we are Abraham's seed. He said, no, if you are Abraham's seed, you will be doing what Abraham did. He said, but you seek to kill me. Abraham didn't do that. In verse 39, Jesus answered and said, when they answered him, they said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. He said, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So ye do the deeds of your father. And they said, we are not born of fornication. We have one father. Even God is our father. And then Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. So what was he telling us? If you want to say it's my father, it's another thing to be a son unto him. Are you doing the will of the Father? Are you relating to him as a son? Like the psalm, this Bible father, Pastor Yato just quoted, said, if I be a father unto you, where is my honor? God telling the Jews in one of the books of the prophecy. So you have to be a son unto him. And we're going to stand up. Let's stand up right now and pray. We need to relate to our Heavenly Father as children to the Father. Don't take all those things, all his blessings for granted. Don't take them for granted. He has given you a lot of blessings, a lot of benefits. He is delivering us, he's protecting us, he's looking out for us. He even gave us the Holy Ghost. You may say, well, but I asked for something like this, he has not given it yet. I asked for something like this, he has not given it yet. But all of those things that you ask for, he will give you. He said, you seek him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. That you relate to him as a son, as a daughter, to the Father. Then every other thing will be added unto you. They will be added. So talk to the Father. We're going to talk to you. If you are here today and you have challenged, not really, you don't have good relationship with your Father, earthly Father, it will reflect in how you recognize your Heavenly Father. In fact, some people have said that they think God is a macho, somebody want to kill them, and so because they think that is how the Father is always correcting them. When he's correcting you, most likely it's for your own good, really. Apostle Paul alluded to that. So they're trying to correct us. Sometimes it's for their own selfish. They don't want you to disgrace them. Yeah. God does not want you to disgrace him either. So you have to remember that. But it is still very important. It is still for our own good when he corrected us, because our Father God in heaven also still corrects us. If you have not been a father to your children, you will know. Then you need to talk to the everlasting Father to help you. If you have not related to your father or not, you also will know. You have to ask for the grace to be able to relate, right? If you have not related to the Heavenly Father, as a child to the Father, you may realize what from everything I've said here, you can think of it physically, you can think of it Heavenly Father and say, Lord, how have I been living? And see where you have been not moving close. Maybe you are living in the same house, but you don't even talk to the Father. Earthly Father. The same way you can be living in the same house, you don't talk to the Heavenly Father. It's just way over there, like a movie where I say, oh, the big man in the sky is way over there, we are right here. But he is not way over there, we are right here. He is closer to you than your skin. But you need to relate to him that way and take him as tangible. Unless you want me to pray specifically for you, just pray to the Lord for yourself and say, Lord, help me here. I want to be able to relate to my Heavenly Father as our Father in heaven so that I can get the benefits. He said, forget not all his benefits. The good things he has provided, like I just gave you some summary of what he has even provided for humanity that we are discovering, and the scientists thought they just found it. You found it, how did you get there? God has provided for us. He's looking out for our welfare. And all these things are not for the crowd of unbelievers, they are for we sins. But he may allow the unbeliever to discover it so that we can get the benefits. Look at the internet. You think only the unbelievers are enjoying it? We sins are using it. Look at the radio, the television. We are using it for propagating the gospel. So it's all for his children. And the whole world belongs to him anyway. Even these people that we think are unbelievers, they are all still his children. So think about it and say, Lord, help me here. Let me be able to relate to you as a son relate to a father, a good, a godly father, a God that cares for us. Help me, Lord. Give me the grace to know how to relate. You may think, well, he's always looking for my fault. He's wanting you to be like him. He's not just looking for your fault. He wants you to be like him. And if you are like, Jesus Christ said, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. If you are God's children, you will be doing the works of God. You will want to be like your father. That is the goal. We want to be like our father. And that is why we want to be like him. That's why we want to relate to him as sons to the Father. And I said it. I will wrap it up with that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Say, what agreement has light with darkness? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he said, wherefore, verse 17, say, wherefore, come out from among them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. I shall be a father unto you, shall be my sons and daughters. When we are doing that which is pleasing unto him, then we are sons and daughters of the Father, the Heavenly Father. Like Jesus Christ said, so I do always that which pleases him. We want to come to that state where we also can say that I do always that which pleases him. And that is our goal. But you say, how do you know what pleases him? It's right here reading the scriptures. And he will write into your heart like apostle, like our father prayed. He will write into your heart so that you know what is pleasing to him. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this exhortation. You are our Father, everlasting Father. Teach us how to relate to you. Sometimes it may look as if his hand was heavy upon us, but help us, Lord, to bear it. Help us, Lord, to recognize that it is for our own good that you do this. Even the Lord Jesus Christ came to a point, he said, gee, to go to this cross, if it were possible, take this from me. But it was for a greater glory, for a greater good, for a greater glory. He said, not my will, thy will be done. And we can look back and say, he is the Lord of all now, because God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Because this is God, as far as we are concerned. God incarnated in human flesh. So Father, we thank you, Lord, when you chastise us, it is for our own good. Just like sometimes when our earthly father corrects us, it's for our own good. Because they want us to turn out right, so that we can be proud of ourselves, and they can be happy for us. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you help us to be able to recognize that you are doing all these things, chastising us sometimes, for our own good. So that we will come out and share your glory. So that we can have the same glory as you have. To be your image indeed. the sons of God said, let us create man in our image. Our image, but God created man in his own image. So we are in his image and must be in his image so that we can be his sons and daughters. Not in the image of angels, but his own image. The three in one. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for creating us in your image and now wanting us to be like you, like Lord Jesus Christ. So you can show us things. See, the Father showed the Son what he doing. He has shown me one or two. I want more, Lord. I want more, Lord. He said, can thou set the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion? He said, no, thou the ordinances of heaven. Can you set the dominion here upon the earth? Can you lift up your eyes to the sky and let the abundance of water cover it? That means, can you call for water from the sky? Call for rain right here in this place. That's what he's just telling Job there. He can show you how to set those dominions upon the earth. But only when you are pleasing to him. Like he said, I do always that which is pleasing to my Father. Teach us, Lord, give us the grace to do that which is always pleasing to him. Then you will be showing to us things, what you do and how to do it. And you have done it too big. You want more, Lord. You want more, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Pastor? Any other something? Oh, okay. Yeah. We're going to raise the song and then raise the offering. Okay? The musicians can come over while we raise the offering. Get some envelopes out there for those who need an envelope and just write your name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. As they give us some music, just come with the envelopes or with your offering and put it on the two baskets here.
Set the fire.
Amen.